Thank you for the opportunity of bringing the gospel to you. We have a very simple title, that is Be Saved, and or Being Saved as the process, but quite amazing how many scriptures just have those two words, Be Saved. I'll just quote a few very quickly to you and we'll come back to them. We shall be saved from the wrath to come. Are there few that be saved? Who then can be saved? What must I do to be saved? And so on. There's lots of them that have that little expression. I've thought through it of some of them. I love the little word saved. It has a very special meaning, really, because it's double in meaning. If a person is saved, then it means, it implies that they were in danger. You're not saved unless you're in danger, unless you have a need. So it has that negative side, the recognition that there is a need. And being saved is the other side of it, that someone has come in and met that need. So a person who's saved, think of two things. There was a problem, the problem's been solved. There was danger, the danger has been removed. You were helpless and someone else has come in and rescued you in that situation. So that's what the word means. I mean, some people will use things like commitments and religious things that have happened, experiences and so on, but there's nothing that quite gets to the bottom of the matter as saved. I want to give you an example, and I want to follow this through with scripture. Example just from the other day. We were sitting on the beach there on the Sunshine Coast, and suddenly the loudspeaker sounded out, and we listened to what it was that was being said. And it was words to this effect: we can see you, the jet ski is coming, just relax and raise your hand. That would have been a word of real comfort to the person who was in difficulties out there. And within just a moment, the jet ski was alongside of them. And I thought a few things that were quite helpful in paralleling that. You know, when the jet ski came, and it was very quick, they got there very quickly, but as they drew alongside this person, they didn't ask him any questions. They didn't bring something, a breathalyzer to see how he was going. They didn't ask him whether he was from Queensland or New South Wales. They didn't look at anything. All they wanted to do was save his life. That's what it's like with God's salvation. God doesn't put you through. He knows your past. He knows it probably better than we do ourselves. He understands everything. And he's not there to ask questions. He's there to save you. And that's what we want to look at just now, this salvation. What's the danger? What's the need? And so as they came alongside, what did happen? Well, the rescuer simply reached out his arm and took the arm of the person who was in trouble. From that moment, that person's safety lay with the rescuer. He could relax now. It was all up to the man. Mind you, if it had been bad enough, the rescuer may not have been able. But when it comes to God's salvation, the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, it all rests with him. He looks after everything from that point on. He will bring you safely home just as surely as this person was brought safely to shore. He was lifted on the back, the platform behind the jet ski. They went out into calmer waters to turn around. He brought him to land and the person was safely there. You know, those of us who are saved are going to arrive safely home one day. But the responsibility for getting us there rests totally with our Saviour. He has taken full responsibility. His, they say, shall never perish. I've given them eternal life. Those who a father has given me, I've lost none. And so it's a wonderful thing to have that certainty. So with that example in the back of our minds, I want to go through some scriptures to back up the things we have said. Why, just as I do, why did this person get rescued? Because he asked for help. He raised his hand to say, I'm in need and I want help. Let's go to the scriptures, and I'm thinking first about what we're being saved from. And there's a verse in Romans 5 that says, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, saved from wrath. If you look through those verses leading up to that, it tells us that we are without strength. It tells us we are ungodly. It tells us we were sinners, and it tells us we are enemies. And it's the wrath of God from which we need to be saved. Why is there wrath? Why is there judgment? Why is there a problem? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as surely as that man needed help, we need help, because there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. But here's that little verse: we shall be saved from wrath. We can be saved from it. You know, it's possible to have the wrath of God upon you. The scripture says the Father loves the Son, has given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So by refusing the Lord Jesus, refusing the offer of mercy, refusing the rescuer, you'll have the wrath of God upon you. So that's the first thing, saved from wrath. That's what we're saved from. But then who will he save? There were a couple of verses I read. The disciples said on one occasion, are there few that be saved? That was a good question. Are there few that be saved? You know what the Lord Jesus said? He didn't tell them whether there's few or many. He just said, you make sure you're saved. Never mind everybody else. You make sure, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall strive and shall not be able, unable to, because they're not willing to come God's way through that narrow gate. Who can be saved? You make sure that you're one of those who can be saved. One time, the Lord Jesus was speaking with a man who had great riches, and the man was turned aside because of what the Lord said. And the Lord said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom? And the disciples were taken aback. And they said, who then can be saved? If that's hard, who can be saved? Well, what's impossible with men is possible with God. And thinking about that, I want to ask you about certain things. You know, can you be too young? Can you be too bad? Can you be too good? Can you be too rich? Things like that. Anything stand in the way? When I was very young, I'm looking back over 70 years to this event, and I overheard someone ask my parents whether I was saved. I was not quite seven at the time. And they said, well, no, not at this point. You know, what that said to me, because I'd always wanted to be, but what that said to me is apparently I'm not too young. That was the thing that was in my mind, too young to be saved, too young to think about these things, too young to make that step. I was convinced by just simply that question that I was not too young to be saved. If someone could ask whether I was saved, then I was convinced that I wasn't too young. So that evening, when the visitor had gone, I asked my parents, I said, now, I want to be saved. I want to be saved tonight. And they read to me the usual gospel verses, and I can still picture down there in Arncliffe in Sydney, beside the bed, receiving the Lord Jesus as my Saviour in a very simple way as a child. Too young to be saved? You know, they brought children to the Lord Jesus and the disciples thought they were too young. But the Lord Jesus said, forbid them not. Let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom. These are the ones. He said again, except you become as little children, you'll never enter in. So childlike trust and faith and certainty in what the Lord Jesus has done and what he can do is what is necessary. So you can't be too young to be saved. You understand it, you come to Christ, and you will be saved. What about too bad? You think of the thief on the cross, you know, and he even said himself, we're receiving what we deserve. But he wasn't too bad to be saved. The Lord didn't ask him anything about what he'd done, what he was there for, he knew. But he just received the man as he was. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me. Wonderful, isn't it, to think that no questions are asked. The background can be what it is, but no questions are asked. Because if you come to the Lord Jesus, he will save you, whoever you might be. Too good to be saved? There were plenty of people too good in their own minds to be saved, but one man came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Good master." That was a leading statement. He thought the Lord would answer and say, "Well, you're doing well yourself," but he didn't. "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord immediately took that little word good and he lifted it right out of the man's realm and took it all the way to heaven and said, "There's one good, that is God." Wow. Suddenly our goodness disappears, doesn't it? You know, you're only too good to be saved if you think you're too good to be saved. If you think you're better than others and you don't need it, you can never be too good. We all need God's salvation. Mind you, the Lord Jesus did say to those who thought they were all right, he said, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So if you're thinking you're too good to need this salvation we're talking about, you have to acknowledge you're a sinner. The man in the surf had to acknowledge he was losing the battle, had to acknowledge he didn't have the energy to bring himself to shore, had to acknowledge his deep need, and then salvation came immediately on the spot. That's how it is with God's salvation. Acknowledge your need, and God will reach out and save you. It says in 1 Timothy, he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That a wonderful God. A God who doesn't examine us, a God who doesn't question us, a God who wants to save us exactly where we are. And he wants to lift us out of that and bring us to safety in his own hand and by his own power and strength. So let's sum up to this point. We all need to be saved. That they're our key words. Think about it. We all need to be saved because we are sinners and because the wrath of God will come on sinners who refuse his salvation. Being saved is absolutely essential, as it says in another verse, whereby we must be saved. Absolutely essential. You'll never get anywhere, and certainly through time and into eternity, unless you are saved. And so the question now comes, saved by whom? We've looked at saved from our sins. Saved who? Any one of us, every one of us. Saved by, listen to the scripture, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There it is again. This is God thinking about this. This is God's intention. God loved the world, the verse before tells us. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there it is, it's reaching out, anyone, everyone, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. It was condemned by its sin, but that the world through him might be saved. The Lord Jesus said in John 10, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And a wonderful thing. You're willing to enter in today? You'll be saved. You're willing to acknowledge, let's go back, you're willing to acknowledge you're in need, willing to acknowledge your sin is taking you away from God, under the wrath of God, willing to accept all of that, then here's the person who can save you. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again, in Acts we read, neither is there salvation in any other. So you don't get a choice of others. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst them whereby we must be saved. I guess the question now is that we'd love to have the understanding of it. How can the Lord Jesus save us? Why is it that he's the one? We've said it's saved by him. He's been sent into the world that we might be saved. He came to seek and to save the lost. His name was called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. The Bible is full of salvation only because the Lord Jesus went to the cross and there died for sinners. Isn't that amazing? You know what they said to the Lord Jesus? He saved others. Himself he cannot save. They weren't quite right, were they? Himself he would not save. He was there to save you and to save me. He suffered on that cross the agony and the shame and the pain of all that was involved in Calvary. He went through hours of darkness where he felt something he'd never known before. My God, why didst thou forsake me? It was all so that you could be saved. It was all so that you could be rescued from your sin. It was all so that you could be brought to God. And it's all because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. What an amazing Savior we have. Someone we can tell you about. You know, that man who reached out to rescue the person in the water, he could have found the person too heavy, could have found the sea too tempestuous. Anything might have happened. Our Savior has absolute ability to save anyone who will come to him. Nothing dependent on the sinner, all dependent on the Savior. What a wonderful Savior. He went to the cross. He died on that cross. You say, well, how can he save me? Because on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He's risen. He's glorified. He's called a prince and a savior. He's at God's right hand, and he wants to save you today if only you'll trust him. Think again of the example. That person could have looked up and seen who was in the boat and said, no, I'm not going to let you save me. I'm not going to commit myself to you. Are you willing to commit your soul to the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to see that this person who is reaching for you is the very Son of God himself, who came into the world, God manifest in the flesh, and went to the cross? They could not have taken him to the cross had it not been his willingness to go. Nobody could have put the Lord Jesus on that cross. Pilate said, I could deliver you from it. He said, you have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to save your soul. And if you're not saved today, then be saved. That's absolutely essential, whereby we must be saved. I guess the next question is, how do we be saved? How do we be saved? Well, as I've said in our example, a man entrusted himself to the rescuer. This reached up and let him lift him up. How do we be saved? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's precious, isn't it? So simple. We read a verse at the beginning that tells us the full story here. The verse from Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? What can I do? Is there anything I can do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Absolutely, immediately, perfectly saved. What a wonderful thing. You know, when Cornelius was interested in getting to know God and getting to hear from God, he was told this, call for Peter and he will tell thee words whereby thou shalt be saved. That's what the gospel's all about. And what did Peter bring to him? He told him about the Lord Jesus. He told him about the one who'd come from heaven to earth. He mentioned Jesus of Nazareth, told him about who he was and what he did, told him about his death and resurrection, and showed them that they could call upon him. And they did, and they were saved. The words of the gospel are meant to do exactly that. Perhaps we should ask you another question. When should you be saved? What's the best time to be saved? You know, the Bible makes it clear that we have no assurance of the future. We know not what a day may bring forth. Surely there's enough uncertainty in this world to convince you that you can't depend on tomorrow. You can't depend on next week. We don't know. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now, right where you are in this position here this afternoon, God has given you this moment to be saved. God has granted you the opportunity right here and now to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe on the Lord Jesus, to reach out the empty hand of faith, we often say, and it fits the illustration, to reach out that arm to be taken and saved. Peter did exactly that, didn't he? Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out and saved him. It's a wonderful thing to have God's salvation. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Yeah, one man was given exactly that opportunity. Paul was there, the great preacher of the gospel, laying before him life and death, laying before him judgment to come and all of those things that were so necessary for him to know. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. When is it convenient? Do you think God is going to wait for your time? Do you think God is going to stand back and say, well, I'll just wait till he's ready or she's ready? Do you think God is going to do that? Now is the day of salvation. Remember, if you refuse the Lord Jesus, turn your back upon God's Son, the Son whom he loves dearly. If you don't receive him, the wrath of God abides upon you. Really, the Lord Jesus becomes the total crux of our salvation. It all depends on him. It all centers on him. You can't do anything. I can't do anything except rest in him. Let him lift you up, put you in the place of safety, guarantee his salvation, guarantee eternal life, give to you all that is necessary so that you can relax and be assured that all is well for eternity. Forgiven. Imagine that. If you've got a past that is bothering you, these are the wonderful words. Forgiven. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that a precious word? Almost challenges the word saved. It's all there together. Saved by his grace means I was in danger. He's put me out of danger. Forgiven means I did the wrong, and the wrong has all been set aside, has all been forgiven by God, never to be brought up again, saved by the grace of God. We have a wonderful Savior. What did we say? We quoted a verse earlier. Call his name Jesus, Jehovah Savior. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And as that Anna looked at that little babe, she spoke to all those in Israel who were looking for redemption, looking for salvation. That little babe was going to bring that about. And as he grew up, and we noted this morning that verse when he was 12, wist ye not, I must be about my father's business. What was the father's business? Moving on to the cross. Nothing deterred. No one was allowed to prevent him from doing it. He was going to the cross. Why? Because he was the Savior. 12 legions of angels could have saved him. How then would the scripture be fulfilled? He's the Savior. And he died on that cross. And he finished the work God had given him to do. And the moment that work was finished, the floodgates of mercy could be opened. God could move out in wonderful grace and reach guilty sinners and save them and bring them to himself. What a tremendous thing. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And from that moment on, there was no reason for God to be alone in heaven. The gates were open. The fruit could be born. The Lord Jesus will have fruit as a result of what he did upon the cross. Amazing to think we're going to be part of that, those of us who are saved. So let me ask you, today, so I bring this to a conclusion. Are you saved? Have you been saved? Are you willing to be saved? Then why not be saved now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? I don't know what the jailer did before that, who he depended on, what he depended on. He had to leave all of that and direct his dependence to one person, the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And he did and he was. That's the good thing about it. He did and he was. And I'm saying to you today, if you're not saved, you need to trust the Lord Jesus right here and now. And if you do, you will be saved with the absolute certainty of the promise and guarantee from God himself, based on the value of the person and work of the Lord Jesus and the assurance that he lives in heaven now, you will be saved. We trust that all of us will come to know the Lord Jesus and enter into the joy of this wonderful salvation that we're so thrilled to be able to talk about. We trust that you will be saved today. Thank you.